This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, good morning. Call his wife in. How we doing on this Monday morning, 4:05? McMonagle here with you for another hour as we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We got Alex on the other side, 888-808-1019. And what a glorious morning it is for Yankee fans, for Knicks fans, as we're still basking in the glow of what was an incredible garden party Friday night. But last night at Yankee Stadium, the Yankees take 2 of 3, win the Subway Series. Juan Soto doesn't make an impact. Aaron Judge doesn't make an impact. After all the talk of Juan Soto and what he means to the Yankee fan and how he's going to be treated by the Bronx faithful, all the nonsense that was, oh, he's going to break out of his early season funk. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. Oh, they're going to boo him. Oh, the Yankee fans are butthurt. Oh, all the talk about Juan Soto and what he was going to do. Who comes out shining? My guy, Brian Cashman. It's time to throw him the flowers. That's it. There's nothing else you could say. You know, listen, the Yankee shill, I got to come out shilling when Brian Cashman literally won this series, because what you see right now from this team, right, for all the talk about Juan Soto, it's not lost on me, and it shouldn't be lost on you, that Juan Soto goes back to the wall and watches a home run sail right over his head to break the game open, give the Yankees a 6-run lead, and that ball was hit by Cody Bellinger, who dominated this series, on base 5 times in this game, gets the 2-run double in the first inning, hits the grand slam, as I just mentioned, in the 8th to break the game open. Paul Goldschmidt has a great series, big base hit up the middle to give them a 2nd run right before, you know, before the Cody Bellinger grand slam. We saw Max Fried obviously struggle at times. It wasn't his best start of the year. The Mets made him work. He didn't have his best location, but yet he battles through, gives them 6 innings and 2 runs. Devin Williams has pitched two separate innings, and kind of, you know, exercise the demons as he, you know, got out Pete Alonso and this New York Met team. And that's where this Subway Series was won. It was won by the pivot. It was won by Plan B. It was won by all the guys that the Yankees turned to build this team after Juan Soto made the decision that has made this a spectacle of a weekend, made the decision to join the New York Mets, made a decision that impacted the Met fans and how they felt about the organization and how we feel about the city and how we feel about the dynamic of the two teams and the future of these franchises and who's running it, who's owning it, who's making decisions, and why Aaron, as I see Aaron Boone pop up on my computer, Juan Soto decides the Mets' future is brighter. Sure, they're going to give him a little bit more money. Sure, they're going to give him a free suite and wardrobes and everything else. But the Met fans Don't want to hear that because the Yankees offered him $760. He chose the Mets. And he was an absolute dud in this series. A stolen base that leads to an important run in game number two, no doubt. Some decent defensive plays as he played a ball off the wall on Saturday's game very well. Last night, made a handful of running plays. But ultimately, offensively, 1-for-10. Doesn't really impact this series, and that's the story of Juan Soto. Non-impactful, right? I'll tell you that he's at an OPS of 822. He's not a bum. He's not having a miserable start. He's not worthless. He's still getting on base. He's still got a good OPS. He's still helping the New York Mets. But he hasn't been nearly as impactful as you would expect. And in this series, he wasn't impactful. He wasn't the difference. You know what was? All the players Brian Cashman pivoted to after the decision of Juan Soto. Cody Bellinger, who at the start of the year was kind of in the ire of the Yankee fan. Right? As every Yankee fan, at least I know, screaming for Dominguez to play more. Why are we watching Bellinger hit when Dominguez should be playing? Why are we watching Bellinger? He sucks. Well, over the last month, Cody Bellinger has put together a real good stretch and dominated this Subway Series. We talk about pressure moments. We talk about we want to see big players play in the big game. Well, Cody Bellinger dominated the series. Got on base how many times Friday night? Is the, you know, drives in six runs last night with the grand slam capping off the evening and sending every Met fan home to their cars to try and get out of the Bronx as quickly as possible. Max Fried, Devin Williams, Paul Goldschmidt, who's having an incredible year. And this Yankee team has now won four consecutive series. It started with the San Diego Padres. It ends with the Mets. I don't want to hear about the down American League. I don't want to hear about anything else. The Yankees have gone toe-to-toe with two of the best teams in the National League and taken two out of three. And then when you turn to the Mets angle of it, and so much, again, based on Juan Soto, but a lot of it is shoddy defense, as clearly the first inning and the error by Vientos, who's been terrible defensively this year. After I thought we saw a lot of improvement last year defensively, never thought it was a gold glove caliber third baseman or, you know, someone who's special at the position, but hasn't really hurt the Mets, or I thought was at least making strides to becoming a pretty fairly decent third baseman. But he's been terrible for them defensively. He cost them huge with the first error in the first play of the game, which leads to the two runs of the first inning. Pete Alonso unable to make a throw home in that very key at-bat from Yorbit Vivas, who puts together a really strong at-bat against Stanek, who's pumping 100 miles an hour on 11-pitch at-bat, puts one in play with a runner at third. The Yankees have the contact play on. Dominguez heading home, and obviously Pete just absolutely airmails the throw. Leads to the big inning, leads to the grand slam, and the New York Yankees win round one of the Subway Series. And really, to me, that's the story. The story is so much about Juan Soto, right? If we're going to talk this much about Juan Soto, and yeah, he's not right, all right? And I think that's fair, and I'm not, you know, so every time you mention a team you don't root for any these days, like you get called a troll. I'm not trying to troll you. I'm trying to tell you what we see. Right? And I think Met fan, Yankee fan, it doesn't matter. Something's up with Juan Soto. I was at the game, so I didn't hear the broadcast, but I've been told by a couple people apparently on the broadcast, they're talking about the absence of the shuffle, the absence of the nature of his joy that he plays with. Like, last year we saw it with the New York Yankees. That's just a fact. From the opening game, from the opening series against the Astros, He gets the game-winning hit. He throws out a runner at home, and Judge was struggling at the start of the year, and Juan Soto was carrying them, and you saw exuberance. You saw him impact the entire team. He put them on his back. So many of the young players talked about how influential he was and watching his batting practice. And then even as a Yankee fan, I could tell you just the nature of urgency kind of stepped up from what we typically see in April. Even this year was kind of down a little bit, but previous seasons under Aaron Boone, the urgency early on in the year isn't there, but it felt like it was there with Juan Soto. He plays every single day, no days off, and he impacted the organization, he impacted the team. And for the New York Mets, it just hasn't been there. He's not been terrible, he's not been dreadful, but he's just not impacting them. And he didn't really impact the series, and I thought he would. Instead, who impacted the series? everybody the Yankees were forced to go get after Juan Soto left. Max Fried with a good start. Paul Goldschmidt with a good series. Devin Williams getting key outs and going through the order 1-2-3 in his inning in the eighth. And then, obviously, Cody Bellinger with the biggest swing of the series, the grand slam that breaks the game open. And so tonight, at least for tonight, I am going to say something, or this morning, I am going to say something I never thought I'd say. Something I railed against the entire offseason. Something I screamed at anybody who suggested that this would be the case. I'm still not sure in the long term if I feel this way. But as of today, I think it's hard to argue that the team the Yankees putting out on the field right now and the way they're playing, Plan B was better. The Yankees are better off right now not having Juan Soto. I never thought I'd say it, and this isn't to troll Juan Soto or the Mets. I still don't know if long-term, I mean, that's 15 years is a long time. Juan Soto's a great player. I expect him to start making the impact that he is yet to make. But as of right now, today, May 19th, the New York Yankees are more well-rounded. The New York Yankees have more depth. The New York Yankees are a better team, especially because of the key injuries to the rotation, what Max Fried has meant to them, how great Goldschmidt's been, how great Bellinger has been. The New York Yankees are better today than they would have been if Juan Soto said yes to the $760 million. And I never thought I'd say that, but here we are. I never thought I would even come close to saying that, but here we are. And the Mets will go on to play the Boston Red Sox, and now every Yankee fan should become a New York Met fan as you look to continue what is now the biggest and largest division lead in all of baseball. I believe it's a 5-game lead with a 6-game lead in the loss column. And typically this is the first time. Next weekend is Memorial Day. We'll have the kickoff party, everything else, Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of summer. And that's the first time you really look at where your teams are. And really what comes away from this series is that both teams are good. Both teams are playoff teams. Both teams are first place teams. But you start to look at the division now, the Phillies, after a win last night or yesterday, are now only a half a game behind the New York Mets. The Yankees are 5 games up on the Boston Red Sox. Both teams playing well. Both teams looking to make major impacts. And that it was just a well-played series. And then you get to all the nonsense. And again, I was on Sunday morning, so we talked a lot about this and the crowd reaction. I was in the building last night. I thought the crowd was great. I thought the atmosphere was great. I think fans get... And they saved it until the Yankees had like won the game. Once the Yankees and Bellinger takes that lead, then all of a sudden the F. Juan Soto chants come out. I don't understand it. I think it's stupid. I've gone over all this. Other than that, I thought the atmosphere at Yankee Stadium was incredible. I thought it was fun Friday night. Unfortunately for the Yankees and the Mets, Friday night wasn't about them as much as we'd like to make it. Sunday night was. Sunday night was. But Friday night is still, and for me, we'll talk. Take your calls on both the Yankees and Mets and as well as the Knicks right now, because to me, and I did a lot of it Sunday morning, what we got to see on Friday night was incredible. That performance was incredible. I just saw Jerry Recco. I saw on Twitter, I didn't hear on the show, but I saw on Twitter, he put a big bet in for the Knicks to win by, what was it, 12 or 13 or something like that. And he cleared it by a mile. The New York Knicks came out and left no doubt. I can't remember a performance from that. Like, and it wasn't, don't give me this crap. I don't want to hear a single person tell me it's because of Tatum or the Celtics were compromised. I don't want to hear that crap. The New York Knicks came out. They took 3 of the first 4 with Tatum healthy. I know Porzingis is dealing with something. I don't care. This is the defending champ that nobody thought the Knicks could beat. And they take him down in 6. And more than that, they came out and made a statement in that game. The Knicks, you know, they've had these up and down efforts throughout this series. But I talked about how I trust them when the game is on the line and when the series is on the line. And even though they had an ugly effort and were unable to handle prosperity, they would be up 2 games to none. They don't show up for game 3. They win game 4, go up 3 games to 1 and have a 2-game lead. They don't show up for game 5. But I expected them to have a really solid effort in game 6, and they went above and beyond. And Karl Anthony Towns, who was in the building last night at Yankee Stadium, absolutely took it to the Celtics at the beginning of this game. He came out with a fury. He came out with a passion. The offense is just different. And this is why it's so important to get him going. And we can say whatever we want about him. When he's playing the way he was playing in that game, the offense feels completely different. And they had somewhere to go. The Celtics were missing threes. They have nowhere to go. The Knicks have Karl Anthony Towns. The Knicks have Jalen Brunson, the best closer in the sport. The Knicks have shooters like OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges. And defenders like Mitch Robinson. Man, I can't get it. I must have watched that sequence of Mitch Robinson playing defense. I must have watched it 10 times that night as I was celebrating with my dirty martini. I must have watched it 10 times. His ability to close out there at his size, he was so impactful in the series. I still go back to the moment where the Celtics were fouling him to get him off the floor, not just to put him at the line, to get him off the floor. And it spoke to the mental edge the Knicks had in that series. The Celtics were so befuddled and had no idea how to handle this. As they were losing to a team no one expected them to lose to, they didn't expect to lose to. As they were given a hard time by the double lineup from Tibbs, who had a great series. The double big lineup that Tibbs put forth with Mitch and Karl Anthony Towns on the floor at the same time. Right, they didn't know what to do. They were so confused. They were like, get Mitch Robinson off the floor. And it culminated, because again, the series wasn't won Friday night. The series was won in games one and game two in the second half, coming back from 20 points down. That's where they won the series. The second half of game four and the way that offense finally clicked. That's where they won the series. Friday night was a culmination of all that hard work into one of the more easygoing, laughable, enjoyable 30-point leads in a game like that. It's the largest victory in Knick playoff history. It was bliss. It was stress-free bliss. And it was amazing the Knicks were able to give it to us. 888-808-1019. And obviously, we do a hell of a lot more. I know this morning, I was on Sunday. I did a bunch of Knicks on Sunday for about 4 hours out of the five. Tonight's been a little Yankee-Met Subway Series heavy coming off the game. I was there last night in the Bronx. We'll have plenty of time to get you ready for a Wednesday night game number one against the Indiana Pacers, which is going to be a tough series. Make no mistake. I know they're favored. I know they have home court. I was rooting, as I'm watching the highlights now, rooting for Denver in the Game 7. We were actually at Billy's. It was on the big screen as OKC started to pull away from Denver and dominate Game 7. But hoping for Denver, one, because the Knicks have played well against them, two, because that would guarantee even if they made it to the NBA, if they make it to the NBA Finals, they would have home court advantage against no matter who they fought. But it doesn't matter. Home court advantage is a minute detail. It hasn't mattered in these series. You always want a Game 7 in your building if possible, but I'm not sure how much home court advantage means against this Pacers team. This Pacers team is rolls, 9 deep, 9-10 deep. They're athletic. They're big. They're physical. They've got a superstar of their own in Haliburton, who's got a chip on his shoulder after being voted the most overrated player in the NBA. He's playing like it, and they just slayed a dragon too. Now, I know the Cavs are compromised. All right, they had some injuries, but that's a team that was a force from a 15 or 16 straight wins to start the season. They were the best team in the East all year long, and they took care of them at five, and they didn't need, get that game six. They took care of business as soon as they could. This is a team that's been waiting around for a week. I think game one is going to be very important, as they all are. I don't know. We don't have to play this game every series of this is the most important, that's the most important. Game one's important. Madison Square Garden, you want to jump out off a team that's had a week full of rest coming off of that victory Friday night. They can't be resting on their laurels. We need another big effort from the New York Knicks, and I expect it on Wednesday. 888-808-1019. So the final 40 minutes, we'll take your calls on the Subway Series. Juan Soto, the dud that was Judge and Soto's matchup, as really neither of them impacted the series. But for me, this series is about Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman, the much maligned GM over the last 30 years of the most successful franchise in sports, arguably, over that time. Nothing but winning, and yet hated by so many in this fan base. untrustworthy by untrusted by so many in this fan base, wanting to fired to be fired by so many in this fan base, put together an offseason of building a team after Juan Soto spurned them for the Mets, and every move he made impacted this series. Brian Cashman's handprints are all over the Subway Series victory. So enjoy it and just admit it. You don't have to love him. You don't have to change your opinion on him forever. But Brian Cashman just took down the New York Mets.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're juggling work, life, and receivers who can't catch a cold. We get it. And we got you. New York Sports. No filter. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 428. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Taking your calls for another half hour as we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Obviously, the Subway Series, and I guess the question is for Met fans. Now, like I asked the Met fans, you can call me up at 888-808-1019. Now that it's over, now that all of the hype and everything is over, how hard is it to move on from losing the series? That's been my point. We have fun with it. They are pressure games. You can tell a little bit about your team, about your players. You want to see guys. Like, for me as a Yankee fan, I'll tell you, like, DJ LeMahieu and Devin Williams are arguably, and I know Bellinger's good and he's been hot for a while. It's important to see him perform too. But you want to see Devin Williams perform in that pressure cooker. Like, you want to see him in that moment, Yankee Stadium, big games, tight games against the Met team that, you know, has broken him and beat him in the wild card series last year. And to see him perform, yeah, you want to see that. DJ LeMahieu, who has been, you know, an absolute dud for the last couple of years, who nobody wants to see anymore, and who people call an embarrassment that he's still part of the franchise. To see him play the way he's played defensively, to see him drive the baseball the way he did, hit a home run on Saturday, those are positives. But ultimately, I talk about the actual importance of the series as much more of a fan-driven thing, which can be fun, and it is fun, and it leads to pressure, like I said. But ultimately, once you get past the series, I don't know how much it means. And for the Yankee fan, now that they've won the series, yeah, you might take bows. I'm more about praising Brian Cashman than beating my chest that they beat the Mets necessarily. I just like the idea that the pivot has worked so well. But like, what does it mean to lose this series now? Because honestly, you move on, right? You go to Boston. The problem is Juan Soto. Where do you feel, like Mets fans, when do you start to worry about Juan Soto? I guess that's the question right now. Because, yeah, there's some issues defensively. They're not very good. The offense in totality has been underwhelming. They haven't hit with runners in scoring position. They haven't really clicked as an offense just yet. A lot of guys struggling, including Juan Soto. But he was supposed to be a difference maker and a real impactful player. So when we get past all the noise and you get past whether he's happy or not and you get past how he's going to handle being booed at Yankee Stadium and all that, now you're moving on. But I'll be totally honest with you. I expected Juan Soto to deliver in this series. I did. Maybe I didn't, hit three home runs and win every game and be dominant. Maybe not. But I expected him to look and feel and perform a little bit more like the Juan Soto we saw last year and in previous years of his career. And we didn't. He was 1-for-10 in the series. Three walks. All of them. Was it three or four walks? Three, I know, in the first three at-bats of the series from Rodon. But ultimately, really didn't have an impact on the series. He did steal a base that helped score a run, there's no doubt. His base running and his defense were the story of the series for Juan Soto. So at what point do you get concerned? Because I think after this series, I'm starting to get a little concerned. He's a great player. He's going to turn it around. I'm not like dramatically concerned, but there is something to what's going on with him. Like, I think we have to be fair, right? I don't think it's... We shouldn't go over the top and look at everything he does and how his body language and whether he's smiling or celebrating after him, walk-off home runs or any of the nonsense that we focus on or that he's unhappy being a Met. I don't think that's it either. I'm sure he's very happy with his decision. He's getting paid a ton of money. The team is winning. Everything that he still gets the free suite. He still gets the wardrobe. And if it was the future of the Mets, that hasn't changed. So I'm sure he's fine with his decision. I don't think he's lamenting the idea that he moved on from the Yankees. That's a narrative that fans want to tell. But that doesn't change the fact something's off. And apparently, even on the broadcast, they were talking about where's the shuffle? There's something just not right about him. And even in this game, he has like kind of a check swing against Williams that he ends up making better contact than you would have thought and actually hitting a fairly hard ground ball up the middle, to which DJ LeMahieu has to go make a nice play, and Soto's not hustling. He doesn't really run out of the box. He never really gets down the line at top speed at any point. Like, that hasn't been Juan Soto. Not the best base runner, not the best defender, you know. But while struggling to now see a lack of hustle from him, plus real no... I hate to use the word joy, but there's something missing from what we saw from him last year. That's just a fact. Forget whether or not it was on the Yankee uniform. I just happened to be able to speak on it eloquently because I watched every one of his at-bats. I wouldn't, if he was coming straight from San Diego, I wouldn't be able to talk about every at-bat, what we saw from him and the exuberance he played with and the shuffle and all that stuff. I wouldn't be able to speak to it as well because I don't know it. But we saw it. I watched every one of his at-bats last year. He just looks like a different guy. Something is up with him. I don't necessarily think it's that he's unhappy being a Met. Maybe it's just the struggles. Maybe it's the pressure. I don't know what it is, but Juan Soto looks different. And it's not just the results. It's he's not making an impact on the team, and he doesn't look like himself. And I expect that to turn around, but we are getting to Memorial Day. And now the lead in the division has dwindled down to a half game. And this guy is all about pressure moments and rising to the occasion. That's what he's done his whole career. And he didn't even come close to doing that in this series. He didn't even come close to it. He was a non-issue. There was so much more fluff than substance. In the one, it's more about me walking out of Yankee Stadium hearing F. Juan Soto chants from the Yankees than it's anything he did on the field. So when do you start worrying about Juan Soto? When do we actually move past the idea of, hey, he's still got an 822 OPS, he's fine, it just takes some time, new team. Like, when do we start moving past that and start worrying? Because it's not just a hitting slump. He looks like a different guy. And that's not a Yankee fan trying to tweak you or troll you. That's the truth. So we got to find out what the hell is wrong with Juan Soto. Because I'm shocked by his performance. I got to be honest with you. I was terrified. I was telling Lugie the entire game. I'm like, he's going to hit some. Every time he came up, I'm like, this is it. I was confident he was going to have a home run or a big hit, and it never came. And for the Mets, it really never came all day. And for the Yankees, it took until the eighth inning. But both starting pitchers are really good. David Peterson was really good in this game. Max Fried did not have his best stuff, but was able to battle through. And ultimately, it became about the bottom of the lineup. It became about Avivas, who had an incredible at-bat that scores the run, and Pete Alonso. It became Met mistakes and the Yankee pivot game. And the Brian Cashman, I just won the series for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Alan in Fairlawn. What's up, Alan?
Hi, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, great. Thank show. You, Alan. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm glad you just brought up the lack of hustle. I don't know if other people have called in. I just woke up. I can call. The at bat, the last at bat, the ground ball to LeMayo. I could not believe that man did not run out of the box like a little leaguer that doesn't know how to play ball. And let me ask you, the Bellinger home run. He didn't jump. His feet never left the ground. I was with my girlfriend. I said, I don't know if it would have been a home run if someone else was out there. I can't tell.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't really think he had a chance to catch it. I don't think so. But he could have tried. He could have tried harder. I guess.
Watched the Boston game. The guy in Atlanta was catching balls like it was unbelievable, jumping over the fence.
Well, I mean, it's a higher fence. I mean, like, he's played in that building a lot, obviously, last year. I think he knew where it was going and he didn't have a chance for it. That doesn't bother me as much, but I hear what you're saying. You could have leapt for it and made an attempt, I guess. I don't think he's catching the ball. I didn't.
$700 million, man. You know, I would have, you know, I mean, I just,
well, I mean, again, I, we can't.
I have no respect for the guy.
No, that's no that. Come on. You have no respect for Juan Soto?
We have no respect for him? Base. No, I run hard to first base.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you do, Alan, in your softball games, but I'm sure you pull a hamstring. Look. I have no respect for the guy. I mean, come on. That's a bit much, no? I didn't like the idea that he didn't hustle either. I think he was caught off guard that he made contact on the check swing and that it was hit as hard as it was. Like, I just think he was caught off guard for a second. Not making excuses for him. You got to run the ball out hard. But he played good defense in this series for the most part, right? He took a ball off the wall on Saturday where I thought I would have been more aggressive on the base path with the Yankees and send Dominguez. But, you know, he played it well enough to keep the run off the board. He made a couple of running plays in this game. One, he overran it a little bit and had to reach back over his head. So I thought he made a couple of good plays defensively. He took bases from the Yankees, right? Friday night, he steals a base. Saturday, when they're not paying attention, he steals third, which sets up a sacrifice fly, which gets them their second run of the game. I mean, that's a big play in the game. They don't win the game without that play. So I don't think he's been like this guy who's not hustling at all. he just had that moment where he didn't hustle. It always looks bad when you don't run to first. And I don't know about the leap at the wall. That didn't bother me all that much. But he just looks different, man. I don't know how else to put it. Part of the reason why Yankee fans thought he would come, right? And part of the, and I've talked a lot about this. We don't have to keep getting into it, because where I don't understand the Yankee fans this much vitriol. Like, I really don't understand it. I'm sorry. I don't understand why any Yankee fan would exit last night's game chanting F Juan Soto. I don't see it. I don't know why you would want to do that. Again, a bunch of people in the section that we were in, or the suite we were in and right around it, the minute Bellinger hit the home run, it was F Juan Soto. Like, when the game was in question, they didn't want to go there. But once the Yankees broke it open, suddenly the F Juan Soto chants came out. Like, I have no idea. The booing, fine. The turning you back in right field in the bleachers, I like that. I have no problem with that. All the years of roll call, because I can tell you, I've never seen a player get the love from the right field bleachers like Juan Soto got. I've never seen it. He got multiple roll calls a game. They showered him with as much love as you could possibly shower someone with, trying to convince him to stay. And if they felt like he turned his back on them, I have no problem with them. I thought it was funny. I thought he handled everything great. I had no problem with any of it. But I don't understand the vitriol that was screaming F Juan Soto as we leave the building last night. I'll never understand it. I'll never understand it. And part of it is because we got to watch him play every day last year. And the pure joy, I don't know how else to put it, the joy and exuberance he played with, and the shuffle and the body language, that's why everybody thought he was going to be a Yankee. Why all Yankee fans thought. Why guys like even Sal Licata, who've been whispering Soto to the Mets for a long time. Even he at times felt like, well, he's not leaving. Look, he's hitting in front of Judge. He's having this great year. He fit the New York Yankees. And you felt it from day one. He just fit the Yankees. For whatever reason, and I'm not saying it's because he misses the Yankees or he doesn't like the Mets. All right, I want to make that clear. I don't know why it hasn't had that same feel. He fit the Yankees like a glove. He came in right away, game-winning hit, throw a runner out, opening series in that building, which has been a house of horror for the New York Yankees, took a four-game sweep, and away Juan Soto went for the entire year, into the postseason, into hitting home runs that send him into the World Series, and then hitting home runs in the World Series. Juan Soto fit the Yankees like a glove. It has been a square peg in a round circle for 2 months with the Mets, and I don't know why. I don't know why. It's very hard to explain, but this series, I thought it would bring it out in him. I really did. And as a Yankee fan, I was scared. Not like, you know, physically scared or really scared, but I was worried he was going to dominate the series. When he tipped the cap and played it the way he did and had a smile on his face, I'll tell you this right now, Friday night, and if he would have walked out there and just, like, tried to avoid it and went right to the batter's box, like he tried to avoid talking to the ESPN broadcast. Someone told me that Carl Ravage on the broadcast said that Juan Soto begged. Did he use the word begged? Begged out of having the being mic'd up for the ESPN Sunday Night Broadcast, I guess after agreeing to it or whatever, or being, you know, maybe he was unaware of it, and then they, you know, someone okayed it without his okay. I have no idea. But whatever the case may be, he was scheduled to be the on-mic interview during the game and apparently asked out of it. Now, again, someone just tweeted at me. Someone might be trolling Juan Soto. I don't know, and I wasn't listening to the broadcast. But I've heard that Carl Ravage said that he begged out about 45 minutes before the broadcast, and they went to Nimmo. But whatever the case may be, it was supposed to be him. He asked out, begged out, politely declined, whatever the case may be. But he avoided the situation of talking on mic during this broadcast last night. And that's a little bit of a telling sign. I'm not going to make a lot out of that, because I would have made more out of Friday night if he just put his head down, walked right to the plate, and tried to avoid everything. When he tipped his cap to the fans, I was like, Yankees are in trouble. I really was. I was like, Yankees are in trouble. He gets it. He understands it. He's having fun with it. It's not bothering him at all. That tip of the cap, I'm telling you right now, I said, this guy's hitting two home runs in the series, at least. And I thought we were going to see everything. I thought we were going to see the shuffle. I thought we were going to see the fun. I thought we were going to see everything that he's been lacking so far. And it just wasn't there. And then the at-bats. Like, quite honestly, he had an at-bat against Fried in this game that I don't think we saw once last year. He backs away from a breaking ball that hits the outside corner. It wasn't even inside. I was sitting there with Lugie watching the TV, and we both like looked at each other after we saw the replay because you can't tell where the ball is from where we were sitting. But we had the TV up there, so like you watch the pitch, and then you saw the pitch on TV maybe like 5 seconds later. And we looked up, and we saw him like back away from a breaking ball that hit the outside corner, and we both looked at each other like, what the hell was that? And then he gets caught looking at a breaking ball like, you know, and he's completely off balance. That was a miserable at bat. Now, I know Max Fried is good, and he's got a good breaking ball, and he's one of the best pitchers in the game. I've never seen Juan Soto look that bad. Something's up with him. I don't know what it is, but something is up with him. And we have not seen the best of Juan Soto. And I'm not overly worried, but it's getting late, and this offense is a struggle for the Mets. Now, they pitch their asses off. They have an incredible starting rotation. Griffin Canning is... it's mind-boggling how good he's been and what they've been able to do with him. Their bullpen is still very good, and they did win a game in the series, and they were right in this game up until, you know, the end and made a couple of mistakes. Like the Mets are still a very good team. They're still in first place in a very difficult division. I expect the Mets to do well, but Juan Soto, you know, right now with, you know, Pete Alonso cooling off a little bit, Lindor cooling off a little bit, it's time for him to step up and carry this team for a while. Pete's carried the team for a month and a half. Lindor's carried the team for a month and a half. This is why you pay $765 million. So it's time to wake up. And I thought for sure Yankee Stadium, the Bronx, that atmosphere, the booze, I thought that would wake him up. And it didn't. So now the question is, when do we start to wonder when he will wake up and when do we get worried about it?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right, 4:51, just a few more minutes until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, and I can finally go home. 888-808-1019, been a long day. I woke up about 24 hours ago to start a show, so plus I was at Yankee Stadium. We were out. I was there early. We were walking around, hanging out with Sean and Loogie and the afternoon show. Got to hang out with Evan for a little bit, as much as you can hang out with Evan at a baseball game. He is a very to himself individual. That is, and when he gets into a baseball mode. But at the Bronx, was a fun experience, was a great game. And of course, the good guys won. So left feeling happy. 888-808-1019. Omar in North Arlington. What's up, Omar?
Hey, happy Monday, C-Mac.
Happy Monday, brother. How are you?
All good. Hey, just a quick few things here. So one, we need to get Ben Rice in this damn lineup every day, man.
Here we go. And how do you propose that?
I don't know. We got to make it happen,
who
though.
And two, who has to sit every day?
Dominguez got to stop batting righty, man. They showed his stats yesterday. He's batting
terrible.
118 from the right side, yes. And 318 from the left.
Yes.
You know, it's cool to know that you're a switch hitter, but just give it up, man. You know, just make him bat left.
I mean, he's very young. He had an entire season of development washed away with COVID. He was injured all of he had Tommy John surgery. He had the pectoral. He had the oblique issue last year, and there's just more right-handed pitchers than left. He hasn't had a ton of right-handed at bats. I don't know if you want to give up on the idea of him switch hitting yet. I understand the temptation to, but and what makes you think he's, after never having seen lefties as a left-handed hitter, I don't know if he automatically is that much better left-handed against lefty hitters, but. I get your point, but I don't know if they're ready to make that decision just yet.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. And Volpe, there's absolutely no reason why he should be batting in the five hole, man.
Yeah,
was huge yesterday, man. Again, we got lucky.
Again, I totally disagree with you. I don't know who else should be hitting in the five hole against left-handed pitching. Do you want to know what Volpe...
Why should Volpe be in the five hole? Tell me that. That's the better question.
Okay, ready? Ask me again. Because why should Volpe be hitting fifth against left-handed pitching? Because he has 1,000 OPS against left-handed pitching. Because there's not another player on the team who has better numbers against left-handed pitching.
I don't know. Sometimes numbers can be deceiving, man.
I know, man. I know. The eye test of last night is more important than what he's done all year against left-handed pitching. I get it. He had two miserable at-bats. I don't disagree. If you're going to lead off Goldie, there's not another. Like, who else? You just mentioned it. Dominguez sucks right-handed. He sucks. Vivas? Peraza? Give me DJ LeMahieu. I shouldn't have hung up on him. Someone should have, I would love to have someone tell me, have the balls to tell me DJ LeMahieu should be hitting fifth. Oh, please. Please tell me. The same guy that every fan tells me it's a scourge on the franchise and an embarrassment, and George Steinbrenner is rolling over in his grave that the guy's even on the team still. Tell me he's the guy who should be hitting fifth. Who is the guy who should be hitting fifth against left-handed pitching? Please. Against right-handed pitching, he's further down the lineup. Against lefties, he's got 1,000 OPS. I haven't checked it today or yesterday, but he's either the first or second most RBIs of all shortstops in Major League Baseball this year. I was disappointed in the at-bats, too. And he's not the prospect we thought he was going to be. He's not Bobby Witt Jr. or anywhere close to Bobby Witt Jr. He's not Gunnar Henderson. He's not a superstar. But he's got a 750 OPS or 740 OPS, and against left-handed pitching, it's 1,000. And he's got the first or second most RBIs of any shortstop in the game. Like, can't we just be frustrated without calling him a bum and he can't be this and he can't be that? He's the fifth hitter against lefties. They don't have a better option. I've been praising Brian Cashman all day, but you want to make a comment about Brian Cashman needs to do a better job than having Volpe be the second best right-handed hitter on the team after Judge, of course, and after Goldschmidt? Those are the two best right-handed hitters on the team. If you want to tell me that that's not a good enough team, fine, we can have that discussion. But what exactly should Aaron Boone do? He's got the best numbers against left-handed pitching. Numbers can be deceiving. Oh, okay.
numbers can be deceiving. That's the whole point of numbers. They're not deceiving. They're numbers. They're facts. They're not deceiving. They're facts. Against left-handed pitching, Volpe's had a great year. And they don't have a better option. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Yeah, how are you, Chris? They do what they have to do. You know, it's unfortunate that Alonso, who had a great defensive year, makes that throw. People are going to remember that.
I mean, I guess, but yes, you know, you're right. He's had a Gold Glove caliber first base year. He's been incredible. The picks have always been there, but it feels like the range has been better. The only issue he's ever had is throwing to the pitcher on the play at first, and then this throw is, I mean, it was a dreadful throw. Yeah, my terrible. Goodness.
And then people remember that Volpe left six men on base. You're right. He has to play. Against lefties, he's been tremendous.
Yeah.
Bellinger's coming around. Soto was... Licata's comments, and I tried to get through 5 homers, 9 RBIs. I guess that was for effect. But he was just beyond...
No.
And when he didn't hustle on that last play, he looks pedestrian at this point.
He does.
And it's 45 games into the year.
Yep.
So he has to take a little bit of a hit. But
no doubt.
Hey, you know, Bellinger is the key guy. I said that from the go. And if he starts to hit, all of a sudden the Yankees can score runs. And Fried has been just magnificent.
Great competitor. Totally agree. I mean, and I'm sorry, Richie. I just wanted to get in as many calls as I can. No. I mean, the Yankees can score some runs. The Yankees... I think, I haven't checked on how many, I know the Cubs just played the White Sox, so maybe they scored a ton of runs here. You know, the Yankees lead Major League Baseball in runs scored. So it's not like they've had trouble scoring runs. They're scoring runs. Now, why would runs scored not be at the top of this thing? It's a run scoring contest. Why do we have home runs and... I got to double check. It's amazing to me. Batting average is the first stat. Home runs is the second stat. Runs batted in is the third. Like, hello. Runs scored. It's a run scoring contest. Unbelievable. Here we go. Nope. Yeah, they're down. They're the best team in the American League. The Dodgers and the Cubs have scored more runs. So, but the Yankees lead the runs scored in the American League. They've had success scoring runs. The offense has been really good. But yeah, Bellinger takes it to a different level. And what you saw in this series is Brian Cashman's handiwork. That's what makes it so great. The pivot, baby. And look, someone's getting on me for flip-flopping. I didn't say that I wouldn't have signed Juan Soto. I would have done anything to sign Juan Soto. I just went on a huge rant that I would have given him everything. I still feel that way. It's a 15-year contract, but you can't argue today, considering the injuries to the starting rotation, Max Fried is such a huge part of this team. And with Bellinger and Goldschmidt playing the way they're playing, the team is better off in the short term right now without Juan Soto. And I never thought I would say that. And you look at this series specifically, Goldschmidt, Williams, Bellinger, Max Fried, that's who won this series. The pivot, not Juan Soto, not Aaron Judge, Brian Cashman. Every once in a while, it all comes together. Everybody, thank you very much for calling. Thank you for listening. Alex on the other side, I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day. Stick with us here on the Fan Subway Series. Knicks Eastern Conference Finals. A lot going on. I'll catch you at midnight for a midnight ride. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature dad hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Woo. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.